Hello, a very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Hope you are well. Coming up on the programme, a big crowd's expected to defy the weather conditions and join the Right to Water protests in Letterkenny this afternoon. We'll speak to the organisers. The Donegal Youth Council has a new mayor and deputy mayor who'll join us in studio to discuss their priorities for the term ahead. Vincent Brand's People's Debate was hosted in Letterkenny last night. We'll hear how it went. A nutritionist joins us to warn that fruit juicing may not be all it's cracked up to be. And psychic medium Angela Dunlop joins me to discuss her show in Letterkenny next month and all things spiritual. You can call the programme. Yvonne taking your calls as always on 07491 25000. Text us on 086 77 00 555 or tweet at GregHughes2 or simply use the hashtag Weekend Edition. So we have lots to jam in the programme between now and 12 o'clock. And we're dispensing with the news review for this week only, just to facilitate the time to speak to our youth councillors. But we'll have a look at the news headlines coming from the papers very shortly. But of course, the key ingredient of the programme is your contribution at home. 086 77 00 555. Text us here. And that number's okay for your requests as well and dedications. More than welcome here on the Weekend Edition. Lots happened last night, didn't it, across the county? The Sports Star Awards. Fair play to Mark English. He's the top prize winner, you could argue, the Donegal Sports Person of the Year. Loads of other people recognised for their efforts. Apparently, it was a fantastic night all round. And then, of course, there was the People's Debate. Vincent Brown hosted that in Letterkenny last night. Lots of people positive about it, some not so. But we'll discuss that later on in this programme. Plenty more happened, of course, across the region, but those are just two highlights. Right, the papers. The Irish Times Weekend Edition. Irish Times Weekend. Well, that's what it's called, the Irish Times Weekend. Greece rejects debt negotiations with anti-Europe troika. All eyes on Greece to see what lessons can be learnt from an anti-austerity party in power. Loads about it in the papers, as you'd expect. Greece has rejected any further dealings with the troika, sparking fears of major tensions in negotiations with Europe in the weeks ahead and potential financial upheaval. The new government does not plan to deal with the troika, the EU Commission, ECB and IMF. The country's finance minister, Yanis Yarafakis, told the head of the Eurogroup of Eurozone finance ministers on Friday. He also said that Greece will not seek an extension of its current bailout programme due to run out at the end of February and instead called for a debt deal negotiated between Europe's governments. Would that include Ireland? The Irish Daily Mail, iPhones, the new virtual childminders. iPads and iPhones have become virtual childminders for children as young as 2-year-olds. An expert in child psychology has warned. Cyber psychologist Mary Aitken has warned of the cyber babies phenomenon, which will damage our children's ability to function as normal members of society. That sounds like a bit of scaremongering. 2 seems very young, but it depends what they're doing on the screens and for how long, I suppose. To suggest they've been saying people won't be able to function as proper members of society with computers and the internet for years, and still we seem to be doing a reasonable job on that. Irish Independent, their main story. Ireland drawn into new cold wars, Putin flexes muscles. Ireland found itself at the centre of the latest muscle flexing exercise by Vladimir Putin after Russian bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons flew past the west coast. That was on Wednesday. A bit of a stir on social media yesterday when many people, particularly across the Finn Valley area, were on social media and contacted us here at Highland Radio saying that they had seen and heard quite clearly jets flying across Donegal airspace. And no big deal, but a bit of a welcome distraction, I suppose, from all the doom and gloom that we often find ourselves talking about. As it transpired, they were American jets. So if you heard them going across, that's precisely what they were. I believe they were escorting one of those planes that's used for mid-air refueling. So that's the mystery of sorts solved. But as I say, no biggie, but just a bit of a distraction from the grind. The Irish Sun, road rage cabbie. Keno lost it when I said smile. Roy Keane launched a foul-mouthed tirade at a taxi driver who told him to cheer up, it was claimed yesterday. Driver Fatih Kerar spotted the star driving near Manchester. He explained, I said hello to him, then said smile. He got out of his car and was pointing and swearing. Irish Daily Mirror, cops probe Roy's road rage. I'm not surprised. When I heard this yesterday, you just knew it was going to be on the front of the Red Tops, didn't you? Fiery Roy Keane allegedly launched into a foul-mouthed rant after a cabbie told him to smile. Police were called after a terrified driver, as he's described, claimed the Ireland coach lost the plot. Fata Karar said he was left shaking when the 43-year-old jumped out of his Range Rover and hurled abuse at him at traffic lights in Cheshire. You would have thought a taxi driver would be well capable of taking someone shouting at them without shaking in fear, but clearly that's what he's telling the papers. Irish Daily Star, Roy Rage, cops called after row of a taxi man's taunt, is the front of that paper as well, so no change there. Okay, so that's a brief look at what's making the headlines in the papers today. 086-7700-555 is the text line, or call us on 074-91-25000. We're joined in studio very shortly by the new Youth Council Mayor, Eamon Conaghan from Refo, and the Deputy Mayor, Emma Rose Callaghan, who's been in with us before, and they're going to talk to us about the term ahead. And just to thank Kelly Centre at the Mountain Top, Letterkenny, who were the sponsors of the newspapers there. Right back with our next guests on the show after these. You're very welcome back to the programme. In studio with me, we have the new Mayor of the Donegal Youth Council, Eamon Conaghan from Refo, and Deputy Mayor Emma Rose Callaghan. Where are you from, Emma Rose?
I'm from Burt.
I just asked you that, but I wanted to make sure. You're both very welcome in.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll start with you, if you don't mind, Eamon. How did you become to be mayor? Is it a voting process? What happened?
Yeah, we had to prepare a speech. It would be between 2 to 3 minutes long. And we had to say the speech in front of the 36 young people that were there on the Youth Council already. And then there was elections then, where you put down your first preference, second preference, third preference. Mm-hmm. And the votes were counted then, and that was the process.
So. And did you make any approaches before the vote? Maybe pulled in a few favours or anything?
No, I don't think so. I just made friends with everyone. Just trying to be...
And Emma Rose, same situation with you?
Yeah, same situation with me.
Did you find that your last appearance on Weekend Edition had boosted your profile and assisted? Or
Maybe it did.
But anyway, on to the serious matter, because the Youth Council, in my opinion, has done some fantastic work over the last few years. And what it has done, it's given young people a voice, mm-hmm. which we've ignored for far too long. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to previous senior councillors, because I know some of them have, and many of them do. But, you know, it's nice to hear it from the young people's mouths themselves. You don't need anyone to speak mm-hmm. on your behalf necessarily, Eamon.
Yeah, no, we have... that's one of the main aims of the Youth Council, is just to give the young people of Donegal a voice mm-hmm. and to make sure that it's heard and acknowledged by the older councillors and the, you know, the maybe the main bodies, you know.
And what I've seen from the councillors that I've met, it is a broad representation of the young people of the county. You know, it's not mm-hmm. some particular group or a certain school that's taken mm-hmm. the lead. It's across the board, and it seems to be have been embraced by most.
Oh, yeah. There's a, you know, there's one or maybe two people from every school around the county, and there's people there from you know, islands as well, and it's not just from, you know, five from the biggest part of Donegal. They're from everywhere. Like, there's represented from everywhere in the county.
Mm. So I'll ask you first, Emma Rose, the priorities for this term of the Youth Council have been established now, have they?
Yeah, they have. We held our agenda day just before Christmas. Mm. And basically the agenda day is where we invite young people from all over Donegal, from different schools, to come in and basically give their input into the Youth Council. And so we get a voice from them, and they give us ideas on what they feel that we need to work on.
And what do we need to work on then?
Well, some of the key topics that did come up were bullying, sports and mental health.
Mm.
So there is a big problem with bullying.
Well, let's start with bullying and... you know, obviously there's the bullying face to face, there's the online bullying, and that kind of ties into, I suppose, with you know, looking after ourselves online. Eamon, from your perspective, what's the key, you know, what do we need to be doing to be looking at bullying? Do we need to show bullies up for what they are?
Well, what we're working on at the minute, we have actually had a couple of meetings where we've discussed things like that, and I was in a group where we worked on bullying specifically, you know, and one of the best things that we thought maybe we could come up with an idea was to get young people's voices on and make maybe like a film or documentary type thing, and get the young people who've been directly affected or maybe a family member or a friend has been affected by bullying, and get them to come onto the video and just tell them their experience, you know. And
is there a problem, do you think, in that? Let's just take a random school situation whereby you've got one person or a group of people who are bullying one or two other people. Do a lot of students turn a blind eye to it, don't want to get involved? Look, I'm doing all right. You know, if I get involved in this next, maybe my life will be made a misery. In other words, turning a blind eye to it. Do students need to sort of maybe unite a bit more in it, either of you, and sort of say, you know, this isn't really acceptable here? And if enough people do that, well, then the bully's the person that's isolated.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of maybe some people don't want to come forward and maybe tout on someone else. And sometimes there maybe would there be a threat, maybe don't tell on me, or... I think that's one of the key factors. But then with technology now, it's almost like a bully in your pocket. You know, the phone in your pocket. And it's usually, without the technology, you could go home and forget about it maybe. But now Facebook, you've got Instagram, Snapchat, everything. It's all just
it follows you everywhere. And it can be really intense, I'd imagine. Just that thing you mentioned too about a video, is that a project that's going to... Is that something that's going to be worked on, is it?
I think we will be working on that. It's one of... a lot of people felt very strongly about it, and they all had the same view that a video might be the best way to go about it. And I personally would think that would be a really good way to go about it, and it could be shown in schools and secondary schools from... And, you know, start at a younger age, you know, from the first years on. And then maybe as well, what another one was talked about, even if they wanted to start it younger again, maybe 6th class and 5th class, we could work on something maybe, you know, but for the younger generation, like a cartoon maybe or something like that there, you know. And it maybe not as hard hitting as a video talking about a young person, but maybe just making them aware of what a bully is, and how to avoid being a bully, you know, that kind of thing for really young people, you know.
And maybe too, people need to be empowered to, you know, tell bullies to stop as well. Is that, because there's a confident issue, even with, you know, let's even make it on the basic level, it was about appearance. Even the most attractive people, yeah, you would think they'd be full of confidence and bulletproof, but they can be as susceptible as anyone.
Yeah.
So that's good work in that regard. And I think bullying and mental health, you know, which mental health is another priority once again, they're not necessarily to be separated, are they? Because obviously, you know, if you're a victim of bullying, you know, it's going to affect your mental health. But also, we need to maybe ask, are bullies themselves, do they have their own issues? What's happening in their home? Are they deflecting problems that they have? What do you think about that, Emma Rose?
Yeah, I think everything is linked in together. So, you know, mental health, bullying and sport. So sport can help if you're active. You can have a good mental health, and if you're active, and you know. But yeah, they're all linked in together. But I think what we want to do is find the problem, separate everything out, basically dissect it, and think on what are the key issues in each different part.
Which is quite a lot of work, but there's a lot of pressure on many levels, though, being a young person now, isn't there?
There's a lot of different from everywhere. Like, social media provides a lot of, you know, stress and different things. And then you have exams, school, and it's hard to combine everything. Like, if you're doing sport, you're doing school, and then you have to be social as well. Like, you have to have your friends and all that. To combine all those and to get it fitted into one day and still get good results in school and still have friends and still be good at your sport, like, it takes a lot of work. And people don't seem to realise the amount of effort put in by young people to have a fulfilled life, you know. So it's
because effectively in secondary school, for the majority of it, you're working towards an exam in one form or other, aren't you?
It's hard to find the balance as well.
Do parents understand? And I'm not talking about your parents, I'm talking about when you talk amongst your peer groups. Do you feel that there's some isolation in that regard? Or, you know, I know parents do a fantastic job, but do you think they fully understand? And as I say, I'm not talking about your parents, but just from the chats that you have. Do we understand enough? I'm saying we, you know, older generations then, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe there's... you can't really categorise them as all people like that there wouldn't understand, because there's a lot of them that do. But then again, like, a lot of people wouldn't really understand what we're going through, because... when they were growing up, it was a lot different from now when we're growing up. And they can't really look at it through our eyes, you know, how we're feeling, you know, or whatever. So it's...
Yeah, even down to relationships, you know, because a lot of people listening today, you know, if you went out with someone and you broke up with them, that was it. You know what I mean? I don't know what they're doing. Where are they? Who knows? Now, you know everything. Who are they going? When are they changing their profile picture? Who are they with? Changing their status? You know what I mean? Oh, they've gone single already. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know it sounds really minor, but when you're worrying about everything else, it's those little things that are now that weren't then that can just add that extra little bit of pressure. So the Sparks campaign was hugely successful. That was last year, wasn't it? So, I mean, obviously mental health, and rightly so, is another priority for the Youth Council this term. Is it a case of doing Sparks again, or what way is that going to go?
Well, actually, this year there's actually a plan that's called the Let's Go Mental. It's a big event. It's going to be happening at the end of June. And that'll be linked in with the National Initiative. And it'll be working with the Corlin and Oak National Executive as well. So that'll be a big event as well. So that's one of the main things. And we were thinking of maybe doing, I don't know what everyone else thinks, but maybe, you know, not exactly taking the Sparks Roadshow and continuing on with it, but maybe doing like a subgroup of that and just doing something along those lines, you know.
To keep the good work going, but it's hard necessarily to fully replicate it.
Yeah, there's no point starting something like that and having it running for 2 years and then just stopping it completely, because it would just be, there'd be no point in it. Like,
well, exactly. But if you take then the council's road safety show, obviously, I mean, there's kind of a, students are compelled to go to some extent because it's done through the schools, but the reaction from year on year and year, and I was involved with a couple of them, it seems to generally have an impact. So if something like that is making a difference, it would be a shame not to continue it, especially with the mental health aspect of it. Okay, we're in conversation with the new mayor of the Donegal Youth Council, Eamon Conaghan. Looking at the size of you, it's hard to call you a youth councillor, but you're, I suppose, young in age. And also Deputy Mayor Emma Rose Callaghan. We'll be back with more from them after this break. Texter says, can I say how proud I am of these young people? It augurs well for the future. And a special hello to Emma Rose, and that's coming in from Kathleen Grant. Do you know Kathleen?
Yeah, I do.
She your auntie?
No, she's a neighbour.
That's not so bad. Very good. Thanks for the text, Kathleen, and the rest of you getting in touch. We'll get to those a little later on in the programme. Right, we're going to talk about young carers now. And I recall the CSO statistics that came out, which showed the amount of, and I can't get the figure, but it was in the thousands of young people who are classed as carers. And when I say young, I mean young, school-going age. And that's something that you're very interested in, is it, Eamon?
Yeah, there's a, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are young carers, and they don't necessarily know that they are, you know, able to get support for themselves. They might not know that they need support from outside parties, you know, and it's just part of their daily life as being a carer. And maybe they're not aware of being a young carer. So there's actually a group out there. It's a young carers group. And a couple of us from the Youth Council sit on that group. And at the minute, they're working on a video, to make a video again of what it is to be a young carer, and making the young carers aware of the supports that are out there for them. So that's a really good project, I think. Anyway.
And without a shadow of a doubt, because it can be a very lonely place, that I'd imagine, because maybe it's not something you want to talk about publicly either, but there's a lot of younger people, boys and girls, and as I say, I wish I had the stats, but I just don't have them in front of me, that are seen as the primary carer in a house, and they have younger, they're getting younger family members ready for school and then having to do chores when they get home. Emma Rose, definitely something that's worth highlighting. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, it definitely is, because that's another stress or a burden that's hanging over maybe a young person's head. And it's to be a young carer at such a young age, it is a lot of responsibility. And I think that's one of the worries as well of a young person, especially being in secondary school or even maybe younger. But
well, this, as well as that, a lot of people in the past would have left school early to take up that role. But thankfully, I suppose you could say, the rate of people leaving school early, I think it's in the single percentages, which is has to be welcomed. Road safety too. We mentioned the road safety road shows a little earlier on. But working in news, as I work in news, it's very upsetting to have to read out about young people being injured and dying. And that's, who cares what I think? God knows what's happening with families and friends. Emma Rose, this is something that, you know, the youth can take control of. They can say, look, we don't need older people telling us to be safe on the roads. We want to have longevity ourselves.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the topics as well that hopefully the Youth Council will be highlighting and be working on, the road safety. So it's basically, we're trying to, you know, plan a campaign to, you know, highlight the use of seatbelts. And it's amazing how many lives could have been saved if young people in Donegal were just wearing their seatbelts.
Do you think women have a role to play in this, though? Because, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, they have to drive a certain way, maybe to try and impress the girls or look like a hard man or to look cool or whatever. Do you think the girls have a role to play in saying, well, actually, it's not really that cool. I'd like to get there alive.
Yeah, I suppose that's one of the factors, maybe. Yeah, I think it's about having the confidence to sit in the front seat and say, please slow down. I think it's, yeah.
Do you find that if you were sitting on with someone, Eamon, and they were going, say, 120 and you were in the front seat, would you be comfortable saying, look, slow down? Would you be?
I think before, when I was a bit younger, I wouldn't have said anything just because, you know, they're the adult, they know best. Like, that's obviously the speed they should be going. But now I know definitely if I was sitting in a car, be it the front seat or the back seat even, I would ask them to slow down. And I would definitely be advising my younger brothers and sisters to, if they were ever on a car with someone, to tell them to slow down if they're not comfortable, you know.
Exactly, because as I've realised, as you get older, you start realising that there is an end game here. Mm. You know, when you're younger, you feel a little bit bulletproof and, you know, thankfully, and you should never have to think about your own mortality. But it's only when you get older and then you reflect back that you realise that maybe there's less of your life in front of you than there is behind you. But anyway, I feel like I'm talking about my life here. Web safety, too, is another thing. And you know, without going into the ins and outs of it, we only know too well here in Donegal that this can be a life and death situation as well. How we consume what's written about us or written out there and what we put up there as well. Again, we have touched on this a little bit later, a little bit earlier on, but it's worth reminding that this is going to be a priority of this Youth Council again and something you're very interested in too, Eamon.
Yeah, there is, because they're currently doing a survey. We've designed a survey now to identify the main issues within Donegal, within young people doing on, you know, on the web or whatever. And we're hopefully developed into a campaign after, once the surveys come back and results have been collected, it'll be developed into a campaign by the Donegal Children's Services Committee.
Right.
So that'll be a really interesting
And this
area.
Is the important aspect of what you guys are doing in the Youth Council. You've already mentioned the carers subgroup. This isn't just a group of younger people sitting in a room and talking. Mm-hmm. You know, you're interacting with that youth, the carers, you're offering that information. This, what you're talking about here, will feed into the childcare thingamajig, what you talked about, and then obviously the videos that are being made, hopefully they'll go viral, you know, so it's not just a talking shop.
Oh no, there's actually a lot of hard work, and things like this take time to set up, and this is only our first year, so these take time, but we're working hard at the minute to get different things set up and get as many things as we can going properly and to make them a success as well, not just have them there. But
there's a lot of teamwork involved as well, isn't there?
We've become
like a really close group of young people, actually, and in such a short space of time, I think. And
I know, speaking to previous councillors, they kind of gutted when it all ends because, you know, they stay friends and everything, but, you know, it gives you a lot more purpose and drive, I suppose.
Yeah, it does.
Anything else you've what do you want to focus on, Emma Rose?
Yeah, another topic was sports. So when we did the agenda day, some young people said that there's not enough opportunities out there for sports. So basically we're trying to develop maybe a taster day for groups of young people to come along, try out different sports, and then find new ways to get active and keep active. And then that links into mental health as well, being active.
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. And I do, I think, you know, there's a lot of students out there, a little bit like adults as well, of course, and that some of them cross over. I'm trying to choose my words so carefully here, but I don't want to end up getting abused. But, you know, that there's obviously very athletic people in school. You know, we all know them. You know, you're one of those. You play a lot of sport, I presume, Eamon. You've talked about it a little earlier on in the programme. And then there's those who sort of like, well, I want to be active. I want to play sports, but am I up to that level? Or, you know, would I make a show of myself? Would I pass a trial? Are those the type of people we're talking about, Emma Rose?
Yeah, I think there's a confidence barrier sometimes. And there's this thing maybe around sport that you have to be the best, and, you know, there's a pressure to be the best and be on that team, but it's not all about that. It is, yeah, it's like really good to, you know, be the best and try and be the best you can be, but it's fun as well. It's to keep active and
healthy body, healthy mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You might not, there's a lot of people out there too who want to be active, but they just aren't interested in the usual sports like football and your Gaelic football and hurling or whatever. And this taster day would hopefully give them a chance to get out and try a different sport, and maybe they find out that they're very good at it, or they like doing it, or they enjoy doing it. So that would be a really good way just to get more people active, because sport's becoming such a major part of a young person's life now, and Donegal at the minute especially, you know, so that would be
with the success of the Donegal team or whatever it's as a the ladies team as well, of course. It's across both genders. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up?
I think that's us now.
I want to ask a question. What was the votes different? Did you both go for mayor?
Yeah, we did.
What was the votes difference out of interest?
We never find out.
What?
We didn't find out. But I think it was very close.
Yeah,
it could have went either way. You
so what's your feeling, Emma Rose? Are you a bit gutted?
No, I don't mind. I'm a...
Oh, come on. You'd love to be mayor.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being mayor, but... Deputy
Mayor's
just as good.
Co-mayors. We can call each other co-mayors. Well, listen, the best of luck. We're going to be chatting to you loads, hopefully, throughout the course of the year. And you guys know to get in contact with us when some of these projects you need an extra push and what have you. Once again, I don't want to patronise you, but it's fantastic to have you in. The texters are saying it themselves. The future's bright under the likes of your stewardship. Just stay out of politics and just keep doing it this way. It's the most effective way of doing it. But thank you so much for coming in. What school is your school, Emma Rose?
School Warrior in Buncrana.
Just to give it a mention. That's Deputy Mayor Emma Rose Callaghan and the new mayor, newly elected mayor as well, Eamon Conaghan from Rafoe. Your school's the...
Deal College.
Deal College. Yeah. Listen, you're great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We will speak to you again in the not too distant future, hopefully.
Thanks.
Protests will take place across the country today in opposition to water charges. It comes ahead of Monday's deadline to register with Irish Water, particularly if you want the €100 conservation grant, if we can afford to pay for it. A number of demonstrations will take place in Dublin and across the country as well, not least in Letterkenny. Gary Doherty of Right to Water, also a councillor, joins us on the programme now. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
Great to chat to you. Now, Gary, before we talk about the protest this afternoon, where do you assess that this campaign is at?
I think we had a bit of a quiet period over Christmas, Greg. Irish Water themselves took a period off of their water meter installation, so that sort of meant we lost a wee bit of momentum over Christmas. But what we're trying to do now and with this today's protest and our further campaign throughout the next few weeks and months is to re-energise the campaign, because we feel that people are ready to protest and are still committed to defeating water charges.
Do you think that's achievable in reality, or would it require a change of government for the water charges to actually be defeated?
Either or. I don't think we in the Right to Water campaign aren't really bothered as long as water charges are defeated. We're trying to send a clear message to the Fine Gael and Labour government that, look, the people don't want water charges, so this is your chance to rectify some of the wrongs that you've committed, and to abolish water charges and scrap Irish Water now.
What about all the money that's been spent, though? I mean, the meters, their installation will surely help to identify where leaks are. I mean, you know, I know you've got your Right to Water cap on, but there is also that Sinn Féin cap in your back pocket. Is it the right thing to scrap and effectively lose all this money we've invested in what could be a useful tool to determine our water usage? And maybe we do need the likes of Right to Water to administer repairs and to improve the infrastructure.
Well, it's been shown that the installation of water meters will not help the conservation of water in the country. It's been shown that it will only save a small percentage of the water that's being wasted currently, and that's currently draining out of our antiquated pipes. What we're saying, and what all the groups involved with Right to Water are saying, is that all the money that was and that has been invested into water meter installation should be immediately diverted into fixing the antiquated water infrastructure that we have, not least here in Donegal. I mean, I live in an area here in the Fun Valley in Castle Fun, where the pipes that we have here were installed in 1956 or sometime around then, and they haven't been changed since then. And if you go down along the Fun Valley, down along the main road between Killigordon and Lifford, the water is brown when it comes out of the taps.
Yeah, but we are, and I'm not.
Those people are now being asked to pay for that water, and it's just not right. And that's
not,
where the money should be diverted to.
And I'm not for 1 second saying that that's not hugely important, but look at the announcement during the week from Irish Water of the massive investment in Letterkenny's water infrastructure. That's the flip side of the coin, though, isn't it?
It's. I don't think so. I think the money would be there anyway. We in Irish Water would feel that all the money that's being wasted in Irish Water should all be going towards infrastructure. I mean, the money that Irish Water have announced that they're going to be investing in the infrastructure would be there anyway. That's money that should be invested from the money that we, the citizens of Ireland, are already contributing towards paying for our water charges. And that's not taken into account the huge wastage that has gone into the formation of Irish Water to pay for outside consultants. We've seen 50 million just on consultants to brand it Irish Water. I mean, the whole thing is just an absolute joke. And that's why we feel that there'll be a huge crowd in Letterkenny today.
And we're going to talk about that. 700,000 people, or homes, I suppose you could say, have not registered ahead of the deadline on Monday, the day after tomorrow. Do you think that's a lot?
Well, we actually feel that the numbers that Irish Water are claiming that have registered are false. We know a large number of people in Donegal sent back their registration forms with a no contract, no consent.
Yeah, but that is classed as registering, whether we like it or not.
But we feel that those people, whether the Irish Water are claiming them or not, those people haven't.
Okay.
And they're in their own heart of hearts registered, and we know that they aren't going to pay their water charges. So these figures that Irish Water are claiming, they're simply wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right, the protest then. Now, in fairness, there is quite a bit of bad weather in Letterkenny. It's fine coming through the gap and over Drumkeen today. You know, a bit of snow on the ground. Who's to say what it'll be like later on this afternoon? And in other parts, of course, if you're coming from the west of the county or from the north of the county. Nonetheless, how many people do you anticipate will assemble in Letterkenny today?
We're hoping for a large crowd, Greg. We've deliberately shied away from predicting numbers because it's a notoriously difficult thing to do. And then, you know, no matter what way you call it, you could end up with egg in your face. You know, if we predict a high crowd, and you know, it'll be deemed to be a failure if less people turn up. So we deliberately don't do that. But we're hopeful that people will put aside the weather for, you know, what we're looking at is probably going to be an hour from start to finish, from when we leave Mr. Chippy and get up to the Market Square. It's only a short march. So we're appealing for people to basically wrap up warm and go out for a wee dander in the cold and get a wee bit of fresh air for what we feel is a very worthwhile and worthy cause.
And the assembly at Mr. Chippy at 2, is it?
Mr. Chippy at 2, and then we're marching up to the Market Square, where we're going to have a wee bit of entertainment as well. We've got a few speakers, political speakers, and people from the anti-water charges groups. But we've also got Maximum Homo Sapien, Andrew Galvin, who went viral before Christmas with his anti-water charges poem, or his ode to end a Kenny, as it were. And we've got a girl from West Donegal who's in the final of Glory Chira, the country music singing competition, so she's going to be there as well, just to try and garner a wee bit of support on the day. So it's not going to be all heavy political speeches or nothing. We're trying to give people a wee bit of entertainment when they're there as well.
And your feeling is that, I presume, and you know, there's a lot of people that are happy enough with Irish Water. Let's not forget that, just for balance. But your feeling is non-payment is really the way that this will be defeated. And you want to be resolute on that, is that correct?
Well, Right to Water, we're not advocating the non-pay campaign or a boycott campaign, but what we are saying is that we support all forms of peaceful protest against water charges, so whether that be non-payment or whether that's protesting against water meter installations. Because we're an amalgamation of various different community groups and political parties, we all have different views. The Right to Water campaign deliberately took the stance that we wouldn't deliberately advocate one particular stance, but what we are doing is supporting all forms of peaceful protest against against water charges and Irish Water.
And I want to talk about that peaceful aspect of it, because whether you like it or not, and you could say that perhaps maybe the certain sections in the media that are very quick to jump on any thing that's not deemed to be peaceful throughout this opposition of water charges and the water meter installations. But anyone who is seen to be acting in any way that's not peaceful is doing far more damage to the campaign, I would argue, than any government party could.
Yeah, and we would 100% agree with that. You know, we've said from the very outset that we wanted this to be a peaceful campaign, and any actions that go against that ethos, you know, we've always been steadfast and that we don't approve of that. You know, what we seen last week with our president, and you know, before Christmas, and what happened with Joan Burton as well, you know, those.
Well, what happened to the president was an absolute disgrace. You know, he's an elected person. He's a figurehead. He shouldn't be called names like midget and what have you. I mean, that's disgraceful, isn't it?
Yeah, and the sad thing about it is that it takes the media focus away from the actual Water Charges campaign. And
right,
that's why we really don't agree with it. And we would plead with people and ask people that when they are protesting to keep it peaceful, and you know that. Calling people names and things like that just really hinders our campaign.
Well, we know it's going to be peaceful in Letterkenny, I think we're talking more countrywide. So 2 o'clock, Mr. Trippy, if you want to get involved, a couple of hours, an hour at most, and there's some entertainment there as well. And sure, everyone will be huddled together, keeping each other warm.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Gary Doherty, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. A texter says, Irish Water are looking for PPS numbers if you want your €100 grant. That's not true. PPS number is not required, and indeed the PPS numbers that they have accumulated have been destroyed. So you just have to register to get your €100 grant. And if you're on your own well, every home in the country is entitled to that grant, regardless of whether you'll be using Irish Water or not. So if you're in a group water scheme, a private group water scheme, or if you have your own well, you're still entitled to that money because it's for conservation. Gary and his chums need to conduct a peaceful protest. Ask him if the water charge is dropped, what's he going to do when we have to pay more taxes? Well, I know where you're going with that. That's like if Sinn Féin are in government, perhaps, or how they will do that. I just didn't want to go down that road this morning.